reading today is from John. Let us listen for the word of God.
So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans.
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "So, you have no bucket, and the well is very deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back."
Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
We give thanks to God for Sister Louise and that dramatic interpretation of the woman at the well. Amen. My friends, we are in the second week of our sermon series, Hospitality in a World of Strangers. And all of us have been there before. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise that you allow us the privilege to come and to be in this house of worship. And we pray now that you would decrease dawn and increase your spirit, that we might hear a word from you. Amen. That had to be a most unexpected encounter the woman had at the well with Jesus. During this encounter, Jesus modeled the ultimate spirit of welcoming a stranger. So for our scholarly folks out there, I want to present three things that I think are important aspects of welcoming and hospitality. And here are the three things in case I forget to mention them in our rest of our teaching time. Number one, strangers can be folks that are in a familiar environment or surrounding, in our homes, in our jobs, and even in our close relationships. Number two, hospitality means providing a space for strangers to be. And then number three, welcoming strangers is pushing past hostility to achieve hospitality. And I want to make an apology to our scripture reader. I think I left off one of the last verses that I wanted you to hear in the scripture. So when the woman at the well was with Jesus and he said, "Go get your husband," she said, "I don't have a husband." And Jesus says, "I know, you've had five." And then she just kind of was in awe. She said, "Sir, I see you are a prophet." So as you keep that in mind as our teaching time, that might be helpful. When we look at the text, we are informed that the woman at the well was a Samaritan. Samaria was not a destination place for the Jews. In fact, the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other at all. There was distrust. There was distinction between these two groups. It is safe to say, Sister Ann, that there was no spirit of welcoming and hospitality between these groups. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way back from Jerusalem to Galilee. Jesus could have taken another route to go around Samaria, which is what all the Jews did to avoid going through Samaria. But Jesus had this wonderful way of teaching his disciples a lesson through his actions and through his attitude. So he went straight through. So there is Jesus at the well with this woman, appears in the heat of the day, pretty much like it is outside, 90-some degrees. She is a stranger in her own town. However, she is in familiar surroundings and territory because this is her home. She is familiar with her town's people, and she decides to go draw water from this well in the scorching hot sun. So one of the things that we're doing as we look at this scripture is to ask ourselves, why would she choose noon to go and get water at the hottest part of the day? She did it so that she could avoid the embarrassment and the shame. She did it so that she could avoid the sneers and the jeers that she would get from the townswomen. It's pretty hard to keep secret that you've been married 5 times. Kind of hard to do. You tell one, you tell them all. So she wanted to go to be unknown. But there is Jesus, and he met her. And can you imagine? Can you imagine what she must have been thinking during the conversation with Jesus the Christ? She is unknown, yet Jesus seems to know all about her. All about her. Hence the reason she says to Jesus, "See, you are a prophet." In the monologue that our friend Luis performed for us, did you catch the recurring line? To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. My friends, love is at the core of our Christian faith. Everything we do stems from love. So if we really need to have a reason to be hospitable or welcoming, here it is. It's an act, an attitude of love. The Greek word for hospitality is philoxenia, which is literally translated love strangers. It's tough being in an environment that is surrounding and a surrounding that is familiar, and you are treated like a stranger. Perhaps somebody here today feels like a stranger in your own home. You feel like a stranger on your job. You feel like a stranger in the church, with family, or with a friend. Maybe you feel like you're treated like a nobody, an outcast. You don't feel loved or welcomed. You're made to feel guilty or less than for whatever reason it may be. That's a tough place to be. But like the woman at the well, Jesus is waiting for us and welcomes us. Hospitality means providing a space for strangers to be. In his book, Reaching Out, The Three Movements of Spiritual Life, Henry Nouwen writes about creating a space for strangers and using the definition of the German and Dutch words for hospitality, which means friendship and freedom of the guest. Nouwen writes, and I quote, "Hospitality means primarily the creation of a free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people." Did you hear that one? Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them a space where change can take place. I've got some wonderful, well-meaning friends, and they always try to catch me. God love them, because sometimes I don't. She goes, "Oh." So they love to say to me, Pastor Dawn, how many souls did you save this past week? How many souls did you save for Jesus? And my answer is always the same: zero. None. Why? That ain't my job. I cannot even save myself. How do you think I'm gonna save somebody else? Can't even save myself. It's a lot to deal with Dawn. Look at me. All this. That's not my job. As a pastor, I believe my job is to live my life as best as I can and to encourage and empower people to build up the body of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus' job to save, not mine or yours. I'm going to help you. That should say amen. Help me help you. Jesus, the Christ, through God, is the only one that saves. Hospitality with strangers is not just an activity of doing something kind and meaningful. It's an attitude of knowing to create space for people to be. Yesterday, when I was making my way here to celebrate in Capitol Pride, I was getting on the train to come here, and I tell you, I swear to God, sometimes I just wonder what God is thinking. Because God knew I was going to have to preach this sermon, welcome them, and then he put me in a situation that I didn't like. But to hold integrity around what I did, I want to share it with you. And some of it I'm very proud of, kind of, but most of it I'm not. So there I'm getting on the train, and I feel somebody approaching me. You ever felt like somebody was sneaking up behind you? So then my alert went off, you know, the kid in me, stranger danger. And then really, there was this guy. I thought he was trying to accost me, and I'm thinking, I don't have nothing on me to protect me, but I got some moves, and I'm ready. I'm telling you now, Sister Gwen, if I'm going down, I'm going down fighting. Your pastor is going to go down fighting. It'll be in the Washington Post. Pastor gets mauled, but she went down fighting. So then this guy says two words to me. He says, hey, sis. I went, oh, Jesus Christ, he's getting ready to ask me for money. I did. I promise you, that's the first thing I thought about. I went, I'm not giving no money because I ain't got no money. So he went on to tell me that he and his wife were trying to get a hotel room, a cheap hotel room in Alexandria, like there's such a thing. Hello. People think a lot of their property around here. So he says, my wife and I really need to get a hot shower. And in my mind, I got my little violin. I'm not proud of this, but I need you to know where I am. And then he says, all we need is $7. We've collected enough money, and all we need is $7. I'm kind of like Pastor Dean. I don't keep a lot of money on me at all. Of course, he had $100 last week, so ha-ha him. Can't you imagine Pastor Dean? He opened up the wallet, there's $100. Jesus. So I said, listen, bruh, I don't have any money. I really don't. He said, sis, all I need is $7. She says, me and my wife, we just want to go. We want to get a hot shower. We want to get some rest, and we're going to be on our way. I was like, oh, God. So to prove the point, Paula, I reached in my back pocket. I took out everything I had, and it was a Metro card and a receipt. And I went, ha-ha! No money. Put it back in. And to further prove another point, I reached in this back pocket. I pulled out, and there was money. And I went, for the love of Yahweh. Because if I really had some money, I was going to save it for a funnel cake. Anybody ever had a funnel cake? That's like crack. So, please, I hope I didn't offend anybody on that. Please don't send me an email. I apologize. I apologize in the name of Jesus. So I open it up, and he goes, I open it up. How much money is it? I went, you know what, God, that is not even right. So I begrudgingly, Miss Prince, give him the money. I didn't want to. I really didn't, because I kind of have a personal policy. I'm not going to be going around giving people money. Usually I give a business card with the church name on it. Come by, we'll see what we can able to do for you. I give him the money. And I had this war going on in my brain. Give it to him. No, give it to him. No, give him the money. I want a funnel cake. I gave him the money. And he just looked at me and he said, thank you. We're going to go get that shower. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get on the train. I sit down. And then, you know, the devil gets all up in me. I get up and I look back because I'm thinking he's going to go accost somebody else. He goes to get his wife. And they walk right by the train, and she says, God bless you, we're going to go get our shower. And I said, God bless you too. Providing a space for strangers to be. So anyway, my train ride here, I'm thinking, well, it's just as well. I wasn't going to find no funnel cake anyway. Get off at DuPont Circle, walk one block, the biggest sign I ever seen, funnel cake! No money. I started to take off my hat and walk around with 1,000 people out there. Surely I could get $7. My friends, I don't need anybody to give me $7 after service is over. I know what you're thinking. Somebody already gave me $7 at the last service. I'm good. I'm good. My friends, somebody sitting in here right now may have traveled a dark path of pain and abuse to be here. Somebody may have traveled a path of rejection, a path of guilt and shame that maybe was instituted by the church, a path of a family or a friend separation, a path of not being good enough. We don't know how people have made their way here, but let me tell you what I do know. The last thing somebody wants to hear when they come into this church is to hear that you aren't worth it. You are a nobody. They get enough of that outside. The church ought to be and should be different. Now, I do try to stay away from being a dictator pastor telling us what we ought to do and what we need to do, because I know that's the politically correct thing to do, but I'm not trying to be politically correct this morning. This is what the church ought to do and should do, is welcome people right where they are, right in this church. You know what? For many of us, God was a stranger to us. We weren't a stranger to God, but God was a stranger to us. Welcoming strangers is pushing past the hostility to achieve hospitality. I mentioned earlier that the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other at all. This animosity dated back thousands of years. Jesus literally took a bold step when he went through Samaria speaking to this woman, and especially even getting ready to receive a drink from her, because that would have rendered him spiritually unclean. But as Pastor Teresa said in the teaching time with the kids, Jesus really didn't care about all the laws. There are some laws that we have to break to get to the point. His actions indicated that the way to turn hostility into hospitality is to be different, to be present, to engage in dialogue, and to provide space in a non-condemning environment. Jesus, yes, called her out, but he did not cast her out. There is a difference. My friends, there is a story that Dr. James Sally, the Vice Chancellor for Institutional Advancement for Africa University, shares. For those of us not familiar with it, Africa University is the only United Methodist institution on the continent of Africa. And when it was started back in the early 90s, literally people from all over the continent came to that school. I mean, some people walked 100 miles to get there. Can you imagine that? So Dr. Sally tells this story that in the mid-90s, these two guys were paired as roommates, one a Hutu and the other one a Tutsi. You know about the history of those folks, the Hutus and the Tutsis. Didn't get along. They hated each other. In the mid-1990s, the genocide in Rwanda killed some 800,000 plus people. Many estimated that it was over a million. So there are these two guys at Africa University, and they're faced with this dilemma. Their people groups hated each other. Hated each other. And they had to decide what they were going to do. By the grace of God, 4 years of school, they prayed together, they praised God together, they studied, they created space for each other to be. And at the end of their matriculation at Africa University, one of the young men was asked a question. What is the experience that you're going to take from this school? They could have said any number of things. And the young man thought about it and he says that our people can live together. Our people can live together. When we take our hostilities and lay them aside and turn them into hospitality, we can receive a blessing that was intended for us. Hospitality is integral to our Christian faith. It is at the core of Christian love. We remember these words in Holy Scripture, "For God so loved the world that." Being a disciple of Jesus, being a follower of Jesus, means to live hospitably, to provide a place for strangers in us, and to be present to God. How we welcome people in our homes, in our lives, and particularly in the church, speaks volumes about who we are, but also who we believe God to be. How we welcome people speaks volumes about who we believe God to be. So there's this wonderful Romans text. There is nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Having five husbands won't do it. Showing up at a time that you think you're trying to avoid somebody is not going to do it. No amount of guilt or shame is going to do it. Taking the easy way out or around to avoid a situation that you need to tackle head on is not going to do it. Being unknown is not going to do it. For wherever you are, there is Jesus. My friends, I've done some things in my life that I wish I could change. Yet there is Jesus making me feel welcome in familiar and unfamiliar surroundings, allowing me the space to be, helping me to move past living in a place of skepticism and doubt and even sometimes anger, and pushing through that. Who am I? Who are we not to show that kind of amazing hospitality spirit that Jesus has for us? Every once in a while, Brother Leo, we need to be still and listen to the voice of God. I need to do it so I can hear God say, "Welcome them." How about you?